Welcome to the Elks Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. I wanted to dive in this episode, do some quarterback snap reactions, have some overall thoughts on some offenses too. So let's just dive into it here. I just picked the safe league scoring, and I just wanted to sort of run down it really quick just to give you an idea what the top 12 of scoring looks like, and then I'll mention some other people. Lamar Jackson, 1, tier break. Josh Allen, 2, tier break. Jalen Hurts, 3, tier break. So they're basically alone there. Pretty big gap. It's a 17-point gap between Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. It's another 10-point gap between Allen and Hurts. It's a 10-point gap again between Hurts and Mahomes, who's at 4. Tua is a couple points behind him at 5. Tier break. Then it gets kind of flat-ish. You know, we could sort of pick this apart. There's a tier of Herbert, Wentz, Goff, and Lawrence, sort of in the low 20s, between 23 and 21 points per game. And then as a tier break after that, you get down to Kyler Murray, Joe Burrow, Derek Carr is the rounding out the top 12. Interestingly, Jacoby Brissett at 13, Cousins 14, Flacco actually 15, Mariota 16, Geno Smith, Baker, Aaron Rodgers, and Russell Wilson round out the top 20. Some notable guys outside the top 20 include Matthew Stafford, who is all the way down to quarterback 25. Justin Fields, 31, so not great there. Matt Ryan, 29. Brady, 24, interestingly enough. I'm just sort of bouncing around here. Davis Mills is at 26. Davis Mills probably in the category of quarterbacks that, you know, we entered the season, and I'm probably going to do this as an exercise from now on. Like, it's like, hey, let's pick a stat line. Like, let's pick, 6.6 yards per attempt, or 7.0 yards per attempt, you know, 7.4 yards per attempt, you know, just move it around and say, you know, what's the resilience on guys retaining their jobs if they perform at this, right? And this is specifically to the unproven guys. Davis Mills, I don't think is, you know, at 6.2 yards per attempt, certainly has not lived up to, hey, he's earned to keep this job. Whatever the residual, whatever he needed to perform, which is probably like a yard per attempt better than that to really earn this job and kind of play himself out of a top 5 pick, really. He has not done that yet. So we'll see there going forward, but that's a pessimistic sign there. I do think overall, like, just sort of taking the landscape at face value, you look, two is the big one, and we'll talk about his performance here in a second. Lawrence at 9 is good too. I think Joe Burrow's underperforming as well. He should be like a top 5, top 3 guy, actually, if you look at it. Again, some of that's volume-based too. He has thrown amongst the most passes in the league, really, through 3 games. So some of that is volume-based. Flacco, supported by huge volume too, over 50 attempts per game so far. So lots of volume stuff there. Again, this is why it's a little fluky. I don't love to do this on short sample sizes, but I think a rundown, sort of a reassessment of where we are at, is important through a couple of weeks. Overall, the quarterback play is really down. Last season, 2 quarterbacks were above a 90 PFF grade on the entire season. 8 were above 80. So again, some good quarterback play. Through 3 weeks last year, there was 10 quarterbacks above a PFF grade of 80. Through 3 weeks this year, there's 0 above 90, and only 1 quarterback, Jalen Hurts, is above an 80. Tua Tagovailoa is quarterback 2 with a 76.9 PFF score. That would have ranked 15th at the quarterback. Coincidentally, that's tied with Jalen Hurts, where he was last year at this time. So as you look at this, like, I think that there is some skepticism, right? Or there's some, you know, there's some talk about some poor play at the quarterback position or poor play around the NFL. This is an example of why, right? Quarterback play is down really across the board. And we're not getting the elite play from the passing. We are not getting the, like, very good play either. So lots of problems there with the position. We always talk about how deep the position is. It hasn't been that way so far this year in terms of a lot of very good play. It's been more adequate play, but not very good play. Quarterbacks, just go back last year. Quarterbacks in the top 12 of PFF grade last year through 3 weeks. And these are in descending order. Brady, Cousins, Carr, Tannehill, Daniel Jones, Justin Herbert, Matthew Stafford, Kyler Murray, Teddy Bridgewater, Russell Wilson, Dak, Baker, and Sam Darnold was actually 13th. So take some of the stuff early, right? Small sample size, take it with a little bit of a grain of salt. Some quarterback notes specifically. Lamar Jackson crushing it. Quarterback one, clearly over Josh Allen, as I mentioned. 39 points per game in safe leagues formats. He's 15.7 points per game over expectation. It is 10 passing touchdowns to 6 expected. He's only has 46 scramble yards on 5 scrambles. That's actually really low, and I think counter to the stereotype of Lamar Jackson. I was going to say non-stereotypical, but that doesn't seem to be right. It's, you know, his stereotype on him is get out, run, and do all that. He has run. He has done all that, but it's actually not been at the expense of his dropbacks, which I think is an interesting development there. Carson Wentz, top 10 quarterback in both expected and points per game. There's a little bit of Blake Bortles. We're having a competition of like Blake Bortles garbage time award for 2022. Kyler Murray right there. Carson Wentz also right there, getting way behind in games, needing to throw himself back into it. I will say this. I think that offense is pretty good. I think that they have some good players in it. Dotson, I like. However, I think he's probably a little overcooked right now in terms of his value. He hasn't really backed up his sort of top line stats so far. McLaurin's a good player. Curtis Samuel, a good player, right? So some good assets there. And again, you have a good offensive coordinator, right? I think that that's true too. He's overperforming what I think the market expected of him, but he's not. That's from a fantasy perspective, right? He hasn't been, quote, good from an NFL perspective. And again, the question, what we don't know about this is over the long term, does the quarterback position, how is it reshaped by some of these new strategies in terms of, playing rookies on cheap contracts because they're very, they present such a value. Does that actually crush a Goff, right? A Tannehill, right? Like this, that sort of tier of the position, does it sort of make them a bit expendable? I don't know. I'm super interested to sort of find out, and that's one of the things we're looking at here going forward. By way of reference, when you actually look at the quarterbacks for this year, Carson Wentz ranks 20th in PFF grade. That's out of 33 qualifiers. Goff actually ranks 25th amongst qualifiers. Daniel Jones, 26th. Matt Ryan, 27th. There's some of that play in there that I think is for a variety of reasons is probably clouded out. Again, Carson Wentz only 6.6 yards per attempt, right? Like I think we think about this situation with some of the guys we're kind of excited about. Dotson, McLaurin's performing well. Curtis Samuels had a good couple of good games. It's really concentrated into those guys, and the rest of the Carson Wentz experience is the Carson Wentz experience. So we'll see there going forward. Notably, Davis Mills is at like 18, right? So again, sort of on that track of like, and Jameis Winston's 15 in terms of PFF grade. So, he's fumbling and stuff like that. Like there's some issues there, but consistently like up at the top of the position, sort of big time throws. Yeah. He's sixth, right? Like, ahead of Trey Lance, ahead of him were, Lamar Jackson, Trey Lance, Josh Allen, Mac Jones, Matthew Stafford, and then Jameis Winston. So, so we'll see here. I think that they're a little bit better than we give them credit for, would be the sort of thing that I would say there. I think there's maybe better days ahead for that Saints offense. Some more notes here. Tua is over expectation by 7.3 points per game. He's expected for 5.4 passing touchdowns. He has 8. He's expected for 791 yards. He has 925 yards. I think that he's going to regress back towards his expectation, would sort of be my thought. Again, it's like when you kind of look at where he is in that expectation, like it's kind of where we had him, right? Like it's interesting because it's where he was sort of preseason, right? It's expected 18th. Right, like now he's performing at fifth, and you say, okay, like which one do you sort of believe, right? Do you believe the preseason expectation of him. Do you believe his production through three games is sustainable, or do you believe his expected points, which is in line with what his expectation was coming into the season? Right, I sort of lean towards you regress towards where he was in the preseason. You definitely regress towards where his expectation is, and you see, hey, he's the benefit of some positive variance, 13 spots above his production. Right, that's kind of where I see him. So, yeah, and when you also look like at some of the stuff too, he ranks 19th in terms of expected points per passing attempt. It's just a crude metric. I don't have all the dropback stuff for this week yet, so once I do, I'll sort of rerun those, and I'll have I'll probably have some content later in the week involving some of that stuff. But his points, so right, he ranks 19th in terms of points per actual dropback, fourth in terms of points per attempt, right? Actual points per attempt. So big difference there, about 0.2 better on an actual attempt versus his expectation. So I am skeptical of Tua. At this point, even though he's performing well, I think he's a classic pivot player. We probably don't have a lot of him, but you should definitely be pivoting up, you know, taking shots on guys that are higher up at the position. You know, is this your chance to go from Tua to Herbert? Right? Is this your chance to go, you know, take that leap, right? Take that leap up the board. Heck, can you go Tua to Jameis Winston, to Deshaun Watson straight up, right? You might be able to do that. That's craziness to me, but you might be able to do that, and I think that you'd be way ahead in the long term. So I would be open to sort of pivoting up those ideas, you know, pivoting up the position, and certainly sort of using that to cash out. Notably, just look at the difference here between like these two guys. Tua and Russell Wilson have the exact same expected points per passing attempt. So far this year, it's 0.55. And Tua is literally double his performance, has literally doubled the points in, per dropback, or per, excuse me, per attempt of Russell Wilson's. So Tua at 0.76 points per attempt, 0.38 points per attempt for Russell Wilson. So again, Russell Wilson, one of the more efficient quarterbacks in the league on a per dropback per attempt basis. You expect those things to converge going the other way quickly. So that's sort of my thought there. So all right. So the two is over overpriced. Stafford probably underpriced here or underperforming. When you look at him, he is just they haven't thrown it too much would be the one thing that I would say, like 102 attempts. When you actually look, that ranks, let's see here. It ranks well outside the top 10. He ranks about 18th or so, it looks like, according to my numbers. Just a quick sort. So right in the quarterback two range there is about what it looks like there. You know, that should go up, right? You play a game where you only play 48 snaps, right? That should go up. When you look at him, performance on an actual attempt basis, 30th, right? 0.34 points per attempt. What's his expectation? 0.59. It's the 13th in the league, right? So again, I think that's going to regress back towards its mean. You saw him last year perform well over in yardage over expectation. He has done so this year. Again, the interceptions are a drag on him in safe leagues for sure. And the touchdowns, right? He's three interceptions over. That's 4 points per game. And then he is basically 2.5 touchdowns per game under expectation. So all of a sudden, you're already like 6-7 points per game under expectation just by just there, right? So again, I think that those things converge back towards normalcy here over the longer term. I think this is a blip on the radar for Stafford, and the volume should go up as well. Like, you're not going to have games where 48 snaps. Like, that's just really low number. It's just not, you know, those, and there's been a couple of those games where there's been really lopsided play counts. I think those go back in his favor over the longer term here. Expected points per attempt, actually, for the safe league scoring format. So again, 6-point passing touchdowns, 4-point interceptions. Number one, Justin Fields. Again, I am a little skeptical of that because the sample size is super low, but take that for what it's worth. Lamar Jackson, 2. Mariota, 3. Again, some rushing stuff in here. 4, Jalen Hurts. Trevor Lawrence, 5. Josh Allen, 6. Mahomes, 7. Joe Burrow, 8. So, again, if you sort of look at that and say, all right, like Joe Burrow, that's actually pretty good. Right? We actually like that because performing at a little bit higher of a level in terms of his expectations, just not meeting them. I'd much rather have that be the case for him to sort of, you know, projecting positivity going forward than for him to be kind of like a low expectation in terms of passing points and way overperforming them, right? That's, you know, I would much rather have the baseline be a lot higher because you have a little bit of wiggle room. You don't have a ton of wiggle room when, right, you have low attempts and your variance comes back. So I think there's actually positives here for Burrow, even though I'm a little bit of a Burrow skeptic. All right, lowest points per attempt by the quarterback so far, it's actually Cooper Rush's worst, Flacco, Mills, Trubisky, Brady is actually down there as well, Geno Smith, Jameis Winston, Matt Ryan, Baker Mayfield, and Justin Herbert. So hopefully some of that Brady stuff will bounce back with a little bit of higher expectation with him. I commented in the receiving show about DK Metcalf, and you had DK Metcalf basically be like a sub 9 yards per completion guy. That's just brutal. And you sort of see where Geno is, like way down at the bottom in terms of expectation on a drop back on a per attempt basis. So pretty rough stuff there. Notice some stuff with the play action, right? Again, what do we like? We like to look at sort of force multipliers in terms of points, force multipliers in terms of quarterback production. One of those is pretty easy, right? Play action. You throw play action a lot. Play action percentage of attempts that are on play action. 47% for Mariota, 41 for Lamar, 41 for Tua, 39 for Tannehill, 39 actually for Fields. So they are helping him out when they do decide to throw the ball. He's just not performing that well. Lowest in terms of expectation, counting down here. So Flacco 17, Murray 15.2, Carr 14.6. He's consistently been not a big play action guy in his career for what that's worth. Cooper Rush 14.3. Jameis Winston 10.9 in the lowest play action. It's interesting because a defensive coordinator is calling his plays 10.8 for Mac Jones. So you would think that should be higher, right? Maybe that's one of the reasons why you actually hire offensive coordinator to coordinate your, offense. It's an interesting development there. But again, you look at some of the changes there. The second from the bottom one is Jameis Winston, and that's a change in coaching staff there. It's an adjustment to the Josh McDaniels offense with Carr, right? So it's an interesting, there's some stuff there in terms of, and again, Rush is new there. So it's interesting in seeing some of those trends there. I'm not sure why Kyler is so low. The reason I would suspect is just been a lot of garbage time. You're just kind of throwing from behind is sort of my thought process there. All right, biggest beneficiaries, biggest improvers on play action versus non-play action. Garoppolo, 9.3 yards per attempt improvement. He's 14.9 yards per attempt on play action. There's only 12 dropbacks, so small sample size, caveats apply. 5.6 on non-play action. Trubisky, 10.4 on play action, 4.5 on non-play action. That's pretty dismal. It's a 5.9 yards per attempt difference. Tannehill, 10.9 yards per attempt on play action, 6.4 on non-play action. Stafford, 10.9 yards per attempt on play action, 6.5 on non-play action. Mariota, 10.2 on play action, 6 on non-play action. Coincidentally enough, Rodgers, 10.2 on play action, 6.0 on non-play action. So those are the beneficiaries there of play action so far. Who gets the least out of play action? Herbert's actually in the negative. He's 0.2 yards per attempt worse on play action. Tua is 1.2 worse on play action. But again, he's at 9.6 yards per attempt on non-play action. So it's tough to go above that. He has performed at a high level, and some of that, is some good variance on him so far. 5.9 yards per attempt on non-play action for Kyler Murray, 3.9 on play action. That's just dismal. Hurts, 7.8 yards per attempt on play action, 10.2 on non-play action. So you see a big improvement there. Again, they run a lot of play action, but he's been good without the play action stuff. So again, some of the stereotypes on him has been, hey, you're sort of playing in a lot of a really beneficial system for you, and you're really sort of just making that work, right? They're sort of hiding you, all those things. I don't think that's true. He's performed at a high level. He's the highest PFF grade. He's performed well on non-play action stuff, right? Like, I don't think, and he's not just out there sort of scrambling for his life and doing all the stuff on the ground. He's actually legitimately winning from the pocket. And I think that that's one thing where that's a very notable improvement. So I think he's giving himself a fighting chance to be a long-term starter, more than a fighting chance. Like, he's got himself in the MVP conversation. And I'd be interested to see sort of how that pays off for him as a franchise quarterback, pay structure down the line here, if he can continue. Again, it's three games. Remember, Daniel Jones was up there last year. Like, there's some guys that were up there last year that now we don't look at as even worthy of starting. So a year can change a lot of things, and 3 weeks can be a small sample size, but sort of keep that in mind. But again, I think if you're like, he has done it a little bit more than I think a guy like Daniel Jones has done it. So I have a little bit more confidence in Hurts, but we'll see. We'll see. But I think that split's pretty nice. Wentz, 4.8 yards per attempt on play action, 7.7 on non-play action. And then Jameis Winston, 3.8 on play action, 7.9 yards per attempt on non-play action. The worst split in the league there. I did want to go and just take a look at, we get a little bit more of this stuff now. So again, through 3 weeks, it's caveats apply, but we do have a little bit of some early down pass rate stuff. So again, what is that? Our early down pass rate is our, the win probability is pretty close, right? Everyone's still in the game. We're looking on early downs with the rate of which he passes. So far this season, the Chiefs up there at the top of the league, consistently have been so. They've been like way over the past 4 years, they've been like by far in a way the most pass friendly on early downs. So 69.5% for them there, again, early and often throwing the football. Buffalo, second, 68%. Third, the Chargers at 67%. Fourth, actually, the Raiders at 60, just short of 65%. Fifth, the Bengals. That's a notable improvement there. That's actually a really good sign for Burrow and Chase and those guys. That's a place where I was actually pretty skeptical last year. You really needed to sort of turn this offense into a much more throwing centric offense for it to really sustain the cost of these guys. And we see that a little bit, right? So again, they've been totally, I think they actually, let me just check this here. The second worst EPA per dropback, only ahead of Washington. So my sort of, caveat to that would be, hey, if you're going to be throwing this much, like, you got to kind of be good at it, or a coach is going to regress back to like what he knows kind of worked for them, which is the blueprint last year, run the ball a ton. Unfortunately for them, they haven't run the ball well at all. So there's they're kind of a man without a home right now in terms of some of their production stuff. So, but it's a good sign they're passing more, not a good sign they're being bad at it. Let's see here. Sixth is the Ravens at just short of 64%. They're at 63.9%. The Panthers at 63.4%. And then it's a big tier break down to Washington at eighth. So those are the teams there. Again, throwing it a ton. I think it's funny, like Carolina, they're not doing this, but I always remember, like, when you go back to the Sam Hinkie 76ers games, and it's Sam Hinkie, and they're like, hey, we're going to play at pace. We're going to play at a ton of tempo. And it was like, yeah, we want to reduce our variance so that way we definitely lose more. And like, I sort of think about that with like Carolina. Like, are they sort of doing this, mental jujitsu here on us by, hey, we're going to come out and throw the ball and we're going to be really bad at it, but everyone's going to applaud us for making good analytical decisions, but not, but we're going to be really bad at it. So I don't think that's what's going on, but I think it's funny nonetheless. Okay, some other stuff here. The team's down at the bottom. The Bears, by far the worst, 38.8%. 40% for the 49ers, 40.3% for the Lions. And then there's a big tier break. So those three really in the doldrums there of the position in terms of passing on early downs. Dallas 29th, 28th for Tennessee, 27th for Atlanta. It's like the one place I wish that they would do more, where I'd wish Arthur Smith would do some more. Green Bay is at 48.4%. They are 26th. Interestingly, Tampa, 48.7%. They're at 25th, and then 24th, 50% with Minnesota. I do want to talk about one last thing, which is sort of the percent of throws that are coming on intermediate stuff. Again, we look at sort of pass friendliness. And one of the things you look at is like intermediate throws are, you have a pretty good, they're pretty efficient. They're pretty effective in terms of like a yards per attempt type of deal. So we'll just look at that here for the quarterback position. You think about, it's really 10 to 19 yards down, the line of scrimmage really is what you're thinking. 10 to 19, a dot, if you will. And so you sort of look here in terms of guys that are actually the highest percentage of attempts. Marcus Mariota, 31.3%. Again, why do we like Arthur Smith? He does savvy things. A lot of play action, a lot of stuff in the intermediate part where it's highly efficient. Dak Prescott, 2 at 31%. Again, small sample size there. Matt Ryan, 28%. Good coach in Frank Wright. Jameis Winston, 4th. Brissett, 5th. Davis Mills, 6th. Jimmy Garoppolo, 7th. Joe Flacco, 8th. So again, I sort of like some of the stuff with Zach Wilson here coming back. Like I'm sort of interested in that, because I think that they're doing some good stuff that is pretty conducive to the quarterback position. Tannehill and Tua are tied for 9th there in terms of short of 24%. The guys with the lowest percentage of their throws in the intermediate range. Rodgers is by far the lowest at 11.7%. Wentz, 14.6%. Interestingly, Herbert, 15%. He's 32nd amongst qualifiers. 31st is Russell Wilson. Kyler Murray is 15.6. Stafford, 15.7. And then there's a decent tier jump there up to Goff and Fields. Actually, Lawrence is in there as well in the next tier of guys, but he's much more trending towards like the middle of the position there. It does kind of jump up there after really like Stafford being in the bottom 6. The other guys sort of much more closely packed together with the guys there in the 20s there and the teens into the 20s. So, so those are just some thoughts that I have on that. Again, I am interested in what Atlanta's going to do here because I think that they're actually a pretty good – I think they're actually a well-run team. Yes, they need to get Pitts, like, squared away and, like, optimized and all that stuff. But I think, by and large, they've done a pretty good job. And I think they're getting a lot out of Marcus Mariota, which I find really interesting. And honestly, it's funny because maybe this would be something we should think about going forward. One of the things with them is, like, Arthur Smith was the offensive coordinator in Tennessee. And they made a change away from Marcus Mariota to Tannehill. I always wondered, and then he was, like, really complimentary of Marcus Mariota when he came back. And I was like, well, you benched him. And I always think about, like, you know, you benched him in Tennessee. Now you're complimentary. Give me a break. Like, it's, you know, you're not really that complimentary of him. You're of the staff that already benched him. What I think is interesting, though, is, like, when you go back and look at it, maybe it wasn't necessarily Arthur Smith's call, right? Maybe it was the call of Vrabel and the actual coaching staff that was part of it. And now you sort of see him do a little bit more the offense that sort of he wants to run is something that I think you could maybe see here. And it's more optimized towards Mariota, which I think is pretty interesting in a way that it wasn't quite as successful when Mariota was in Tennessee. So But all right, well, that'll do it for this edition. All your snap reactions are done. I think I went like 2.5 hours on snap reactions this week, so I hope you enjoyed all that. Someone mentioned there was like a rain sound in the back. It has been sort of raining on and off, I've realized. I've been sort of in the basement not paying attention to what's going on around me, so if you notice that, sorry about that. But I tried to speak really loud, really close to the microphone in this one to blunt anything that might be getting in the background there in terms of like it appears to be a little rain drizzle outside, but... So sorry about that, but otherwise, I hope you enjoyed the podcast, and we'll have waiver wire stuff out here for you as well. But all four positions done by Monday at dinner time, so you'll have a lot to sort of digest here over the rest of your Monday and into your Tuesday. Enjoy Monday Night Football, and until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.